to Attacking Third alongside Darren Jenkins and Jen Beattie. Today's show presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. I'm your host today, Lisa Carlin. It's been a minute since I've been on this show, and boy, oh boy, am I so good to be back. I'm so happy to be here, and along with you ladies, D, Jen, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Morning, Jen. You doing good today? How are you feeling, mate?
I'm doing good, guys. We're still in it. Listen, we're not out yet. It was a tough result last night, but I'm actually excited because obviously it's been all World Cup, right? But I was excited to get back to women's football with you guys because it was a tough result last night for us, Scott. So let's get back to the women's game, right? But I am absolutely loving the World Cup, I will say. It is so much fun. So many games, so much football. Go on, Dave. What you got?
My favorite thing, guys, Jen and I send each other the Scotland fans. I've just been blowing up Jen's phone, sending her all of the Scottish fans taking over the US, the Tartan Army in Miami in a kilt and a jersey. That's hot. It's there.
They're dealing with the sun there.
That's quite a fit.
They drank all the beer out of Boston. Like, it's the coolest thing ever.
I mean, I keep saying this, but I genuinely thought it was just my algorithm that was picking up everything. Obviously, being Scottish and seeing everything pop up on social media. And then all of a sudden, it was people from, you know, friends anywhere in the world that were seeing the Tartan Army's impact and how much they've just stolen the hearts of every single American. I'm absolutely obsessed by it. Honestly, I've just been so proud because they've carried themselves so well, represented our country. 10 out of 10, no notes. They look like they're having the best time, even in Miami, in the God only knows what temperature it is down there, running out of beer, putting Scotland shirts on policemen. I'm just upset. It's been amazing. Credit to them. They've absolutely smashed it. I read somewhere that we should have got a point just given to us last night for having the best fans.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I think that every World Cup moving forward, Scotland should just be in it because the fans have brought so much to this. And it's been fun to, of course, see it all over social media, interact with them in New York and where I live in Jersey City. And it's been so fun. It feels like the culture, Jen, has truly just been picked up from Scotland and brought over here. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like it was a match made in heaven between Scotland and Boston, I will say, like a really big Celtic connection. But I still think we outdrank, I think, three times what they go through on St. Paddy's Day, which is also epic. I don't want it to be over. I don't want it to end. It's surpassed every expectation of the feeling of having a men's World Cup and being a part of it. And then just like being able to live and breathe it while we live out here, right? But you guys have done pretty well too, right? US are smashing it.
US are smashing it. We'll see. Yeah. They play their third group stage game tonight. It's a late one too. I am very excited about it. I think overall, the World Cup has exceeded expectations, at least for me, in terms of expanded field with the 48 teams and how Americans were really going to embrace the World Cup and how the fans were going to embrace being in America. And it has been electric. It has been so fun to be part of it. And I'm so excited for all the people that are learning about soccer and learning about this amazing world, because in 364 days, is it? We get the start of the Women's World Cup in Brazil. And everyone just bring the same energy. What did you say, Jen?
I was like, too soon for predictions, or?
Yeah, not yet. Don't worry. We will do those. We have a lot to get through before we get to World Cup predictions. Today, guys, we're diving into European transfer news and everything that has happened. We have a very special interview and a very special guest joining the show. Stick around. It is Beth Mead. You're going to want to hear from her. And then NWSL Challenge Cup. Did we forget about the NWSL and the Challenge Cup? Because it's here. They play tomorrow. We're going to preview it and talk all about it. So thanks, everyone, for hanging with us. If you're watching us live on YouTube, thank you. Join the comments in the chat. Let us know your favorite supporters so far at the World Cup and why it is Scotland and what they've done to win you over. Let us know if you're listening as a pod. Thanks so much. We so appreciate it, guys. Shall we dive into it? Because the transfer market has been, let's just... over the last couple of weeks. We got to start with Real Madrid because they have made some huge moves bringing in goal scorers and reinforcements in their team. $1.5 million on a 4-year deal. Can you guys hear me?
You're kind of going in and out a little bit.
Oh, no. Okay. What do you guys think of the Real Madrid trades?
Yeah, well, Carolyn, we're leaving to Lyon is huge. I think we all kind of thought she would be poached from Real Madrid, especially after this Champions League season. She's been an absolute standout, the Scottish Galactica, Jen, your fellow teammate. I think it makes a lot of sense for her to make this move, just honestly, because she needed more of a surrounding cast at Real Madrid. And it's a shame that now they're bringing over Lynette Behrenstein, Felicia Schroeder from Haken, both having Champions League experience. It's what the team needs. And I'm very curious what they're going to do moving forward, because now you're missing that linchpin in the center of the pitch that truly connects the lines, that can play any type of ball forward, that's like the true leader of the team. I think it's really good moves in the attack, but then I still have question marks for Real Madrid. But Jen, I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's great moves from Real Madrid. I think they needed it. I think, you know, everyone that was across them over last season. I mean, my comment is going to be mainly on Carolyn Weir, because I think, you know, she deserves that focus and it is a huge move for her. The biggest thing for me is Carolyn Weir is a winner and was a winner at Manchester City, won trophies. And I think that is the one thing that Real Madrid ultimately is really hard to do at Real Madrid, no matter how big the club, when you're up against the likes of the Barca's, you know, who do dominate. Do you really see yourself with winning multiple trophies at Real Madrid? So what do? You go in for one of the most successful teams in European football, other than Barcelona, obviously. I think it's an amazing opportunity for her to hopefully win more trophies. And she's one of the best European midfielders, and I think built that profile up even more whilst being at Real Madrid. I love when players go and get experience in different domestic leagues as well, mm-hmm. and really broaden their horizon in that sense. So credit to her, huge move, massive club, more pressure, I will say as well, because they just lost to an amazing team, Barcelona, best team in Europe. So the challenge for them is to get back to that point. But I think she's a brilliant signing for them.
Also, what a midfield for Lyon. Oh my God. Between Weir, Lily Johannes, Melchi Dumoulin, if she plays the middle, like, Lyon stay stacked. I'm excited to see how she plays with them this next season. I can't wait to watch.
With the absence of Mendy with Lyon too, how does that fit in? Like, is it a like-for-like swap bringing in Carolyn Weir?
That's a straight swap.
I'm asking, yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, yes, they're number 10s. So, yeah, I think Carolyn Weir offers a different dynamic being left-footed. I think that's important to say. She is a niche when it comes to that player. Also brings a set-piece specialist, corner taker, free-kick taker. But, yeah, a straight swap in terms of another midfielder that is of huge quality. But she's still going to be competing. Like, by no means is she going to walk into... Who walks into a Lyon team? Nobody. You know, I love Lindsay Heaps' comments of when she first arrived and trying to earn the respect of Wendy Renard and that caliber of player. That is the level that Lyon are at. So it's still a huge challenge, but that's what I love about Carolyn Weir as well. She's more than willing to continue to do that.
Yeah, so it's a 4-year or a 3-year deal, excuse me, for Carolyn Weir with Lyon, the French side. Guys, another big one that we talked about rumor-wise here on A3 was goalkeeper Mary Earps. Where she was going to go as a free agent. And she goes from one Michelle Kang team to another and she returns to the WSL to play with London City Lionesses after her time with PSG. It is a 2-year deal that she has signed. And for London City, this is a team you were high on. They finished 6th in the WSL, but now they bring in such an experienced goalkeeper like this and a lot of other rumors out there, bringing in some other players perhaps. Is this the year London City Lionesses make Champions League?
Oof. Yeah. Whoa. You know what? Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna stand on it. Yeah, I'm gonna stand on it. I'm gonna say London City Lionesses will make Champions League. I think that this team is stacked. They came in sixth last year, and everyone's complaints were, "Oh, they have an older roster." Blah blah blah. They were so competitive. They had some big injuries. You have players coming back. They're making more and more signings. And as much as I would have loved to see Mary Earps in the NWSL, which is, I think, where most of us placed her, it makes sense with London City and what they're investing in and the players that they're bringing in. And truly, it's Michelle King. Like, she's going to make blockbuster moves and sign athletes like this. Makes a lot of sense. If I'm Mary Earps, that's also a place I want to go. She's paid her dues being at clubs where they're maybe not getting the best investment. And hell, I would want to go to London City too. So I'm here for it. Send me a kit. I'm rocking with London City Lionesses.
Especially with all the other potential rumors that are to come with London City Lionesses, because there's been a lot of talk of signing two-time Ballon d'Or winner Alexia Putellas. Big rumblings out of Spain actually happening right now. There are more reports dropping from Tom Gary out of The Guardian saying that the deal is official. So it's still to be fully confirmed by club and player out of the London City Lionesses. But yeah, I'm kind of with you on this London City Lionesses train now, Darian, because especially if they get Putellas, if that is official, and now Mary Earps, you're bringing in just proven winners to a club that they can go on and do great things with. So I'm excited about this.
When you're signing players like that as well, imagine the other players that want to go play for a club like that. For sure. Like,
yeah,
it's a dream.
It's a dream. We have another big signing that we have to talk about, because Beth Mead, after 9 years in North London with Arsenal, the English international winger, she has signed with Manchester City. There is so much talk and rumors about this player, where she was going to go, how she was going to end up somewhere outside of Arsenal. And she did sign with Manchester City on a 3-year deal. And this is huge for player, for club, Manchester City. They won the WSL. They're now competing in Women's Champions League, Jen. And now Beth Mead is on their roster to help them in Women's Champions League. How is she going to just fit into this roster and this side?
I mean, she will. I think she actually really suits the style of football. I think they're a big footballing team. It cracks me up because I know she's probably listening to this before she comes on. So this is a real, real pressure moment. I think it's a challenge that she is so ready for, and whether it was expected or not, I think it's always going to be really difficult for her to leave Arsenal. But regardless, football-wise, Man City have played some of the best football, in my opinion, last season, having Bonnie Shaw, Viv Miedema, you know, signing Sam Coffey to bolster the roster and play week in and week out as well. They play a really enjoyable style of play to watch, and I think for her, she can explain better herself when she comes on, but for who can play through the nine, that's how she made her career really when she was a youngster and then an inside winger. She's a very adaptable player that can play in very different forward lines, how Jaeglerich will want to set up tactically. So I think she'll fit in, no stress at all, to be honest. One of the best footballing clubs in England. And she'll be back in Champions League with them. So it's an awesome move, but you want to hear from her, right? You don't want to hear from me. So but yeah, epic move. I can't wait to hear from her.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Why waste any more time? We're going to take a quick break and we're bringing her in. Beth Mead is here on A3. Stick with us. Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. We are so pleased to welcome in a very special guest, the English international, 2-time European champion, 6-time trophy winner with Arsenal, including the Women's Super League and Women's Champions League, the most assists in WSL, plus the newest member of Manchester City, Beth Mead. Hey, Beth, welcome into Attacking Third. How are you?
I want to see where she is. Oh, the suspension.
Oh, no. Beth, are you with us?
Sorry.
Heatwave.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now, Beth. Thanks so much.
Okay, good. Sorry.
All good. Where are you? You look like you're hanging outside.
Yeah, it's very hot in England and we're not very good at getting used to the heat. So I'm actually outside in the shade because zero aircon is not the one when it's like this.
Surely with a new contract with your big bucks, you can buy an AC unit, Beth, no?
Maybe on. My new place. I'm yeah, still in London at the moment.
You're not going to get the heat in Manchester like that.
No, true. I need to get used to being up north again, I think.
Well, I'm going to get straight into and ask you how Ibiza was, because I'm sure we'll get onto the football eventually, but to go from Ibiza to Ibiza, did you have a good time? I had a bit of fun.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty epic, actually. I'm not going to play it down. I mean, you know how it is. My first time of doing one of them holidays was with you.
Yeah, let's not bring that up.
We had a good time. I'll leave it at that now.
Well, I thought you were still wearing the same bikini from that holiday.
Don't out me.
Sorry.
I like to recycle, okay?
Oh, yeah, smart, yeah. She's eco-friendly, everyone.
I am, exactly. Sustainable.
We got to know a story from this Ibiza trip with our J Beats over here.
Oh, which night, Jen?
Mate, I swear. I've gone silly already, so please don't derail this even more.
Yeah, sorry, I have that effect on Jen sometimes. Apologies. Yeah.
No, we had a great time. And it's, what did you see? What did you do? DJs?
We did DJs. Club. We did two boat trips. Cafe Mambo for the sunset, which is always a good one. Calvin Harris at Ushuaia was probably my favourite night. You know what that night is. And banger after banger with Calvin.
So I tried to explain to the girls Ibiza in an American standpoint, because a lot of Northern Americans go to Cabo. It's like the party place in Mexico.
Okay.
Can you describe Ibiza for a European?
Oh, I feel like it's a place that everybody is and wants to be. You can get away with most things. You know everyone. You're going to walk past someone that you know. Plenty of drinking and just a good time with friends. DJs and music.
Love it.
Honestly, sounds
and
like
to be fair, the island off Ibiza is sick as well. Formentera. Oh. It's like beautiful. It's also a very beautiful island as well.
Yeah, I think so.
It depends what way you want to go with it, party or the nice parts. I can tell you, I did the party part, not the nice parts.
Yeah. As you should.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, off season. You're allowed in off season now.
I'm envious. I only know Ibiza from Love Island, so it's always been on my bucket list.
Fair. I would recommend.
Yeah.
All right. Next summer, or after next summer.
Okay.
Coming up. But Beth, let's jump into it, because there's been so much anticipation of this announcement, and we've even had part of our show dedicated to wondering where you're going to go next. We were hoping NWSL potentially, but Man City makes so much sense for you. Does it? How did it feel to just finally get that announcement out after all of this buildup?
I feel like mine was the worst kept secret ever. But I'm excited. I think I did have some options. America-wise, I had some options in the WSL, but I think obviously, like Jen said earlier, listening in, the way that City play suits me to a T as a style of football, and how I play as a footballer, speaking to the manager and what he wants from me. I can play in various positions and do very well, and have a effect on the team in a different way of them wanting to play. And I think that was exciting for me to know that he was happy for me to take up kind of a different role. So hopefully it works well for me. And obviously, again, Champions League, like Jen said, is always, like, if you've played in Champions League and you can have the opportunity to play in it again, is very exciting.
Yeah, it's cool to hear that from you. And of course, we know you were listening to what Jen was talking about, you and this move. But I mean, you know Manchester City pretty well from playing against them so frequently and so often. When you look at that team, and even in talking with the managers and making this decision, who are you excited to play with at City?
Multiple players. I think there's a lot of players that are stacked there. I think I'm excited to play with, you know, like Yui Hasegawa, who's very technical. clever footballer. Obviously, I've had the chance to play with Viv before, who we play really well together. Wouldn't be sad about having to put a ball into the box to someone like Bunny Shaw, who hopefully is going to get on the end of everything. So yeah, there's a lot of exciting players that I'm super, and I get the chance. Obviously, and I've already played with Alex Greenwood and Lauren Hemp at international level, and yeah, it'd be nice to collaborate with some different style of players.
Beth, I'm going to go media serious mode now, but
go on then.
But just when you are at a club for 9 years, that is an incredibly long time, and you're going out of your comfort zone, albeit still in England. You talked about, you know, having offers elsewhere, and I totally still devastated you didn't choose Gotham. I did hype you up quite a lot for that one, but that's a story for another day. But are there nerves of being out of your comfort zone? Because I know you've already spent a day or two when you do your medical, right? You go in and see the club, the new facilities. Is there, I don't want to really dwell on the sadness of being, because we could talk all day about how great Arsenal was and the sadness around that, but I want to get more in the being out of your comfort zone, a new chapter for yourself, the excitement around that. How are all of those feelings showing up for you?
Yeah, people underestimate, I think, how hard the decision was. Like, it looks easy to them, like, oh, I'm going to Manchester City, like, this is fun. And like you said, I've played nearly at Arsenal for 10 years. I had to pack my locker up and leave, and it's your last time on the pitch and the gym. And I think people underestimate how hard that can be. But then I got obviously the chance to go into City and obviously do my signing, see the facilities, which are incredible, by the way, obviously brand new, and put the shirt on and not feel as too out of the ordinary as I maybe thought it could have been, and be around some of the staff and players and feel excited about that move. But then you've got the panic of, well, what does a pre-season look like at Manchester City? I've done 10 years at Arsenal. I know what the expectation is. Where am I allowed to sit in the meeting room or on the bus? Like, you've got all these new things, like a first day at school again. I mean, you know how it is. And I think they're things I've not had to think about for a long, long time. So I think they're like, make it a bit more nervy of how to settle in and not upset the apple cart and how it looks too much. And I think that's going to be very, very new for me. I mean, I was 21 when I signed for Arsenal, and I'm not sat here now at 31 thinking I've got my life together. And actually, now I'm starting a different side of it that maybe people won't understand as much.
Beth, I want to ask, you know, you mentioned you've been at Arsenal for nearly 10 years and like such a crucial time in your life as well, but starting at 21 and now 31, what are some of your most fond memories of being at Arsenal besides playing with our Jen Beattie?
Yeah, I mean, away from football, like to get the chance to meet amazing humans like Jen and Steph Catley and Kim Littles and making friends for life. I think you don't come down here thinking you're going to have people who feel like family. So I think that is actually one of the big, big things that make you the person you are and the footballer you are and the people that you're around. I obviously can't not say that winning the league wasn't quite nice, and also winning the Champions League last season and being a part of that. I think that's one of the ones that are always on the bucket list when you start playing football, for a team like Arsenal, and to be able to go and do that in the way that we did against an amazing team like Barcelona wasn't too shabby.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, pretty good accomplishments that you've had, and you have, right? When you look back on your career, all that you've accomplished internationally, when you started playing football, playing with boys when you were younger, to winning Champions League and winning Golden Boots, and all of the accolades that you've collected along your career path, Beth, now standing where you are, when you look back, is there a moment or something in your career that you think, wow, this led me to where I am today? That was maybe a changing point or a kickoff point for me to be exactly where I am heading to Manchester City right now?
I feel like I've had quite a few of them moments. I mean, Jen will know that I've had a lot of ups and downs in the life, and I feel like I've always, in adversity, found a way to be a better person or a better footballer. And I mean, when I was younger, I was going to a 50-50 with a boy and jumped back up and I was fine, and he's laid on the floor crying, was like, oh, right, okay. I'm actually a bit, I'm okay at this, and I've got a bit about me to then, I don't know, doing my ACL and having to come back, or my mum passing away and someone who I never thought I could live without to then come and be able to do the things that I've done since then, I think are always like reasons that I tell myself, you know, you can do this, you can achieve things, even when things are hard. And I think there's little moments where I'm like, it gives you a little sense of perspective in life and in football, where I'm like, okay, I can achieve certain things. I mean, during the Euros in 2022, for myself and my mum and dad, celebrating a moment when I won the player of the tournament. And I think they're the moments that you sometimes wouldn't see. I mean, Jen caught it perfectly for us, but they're the moments you do it for as well. So that was, it's like full circle.
Yeah, I mean, it was breaking up a lot there while you were speaking, Beth, but I could definitely understand the sentiment of, you know, the ups and downs you've gone through and losing your mum and still having football as, you know, such a, even being able to not prioritise football, because prioritise will always be your family, but to still be able to apply yourself in the way you did was nothing short of exceptional. I would love to ask you, because Lisa at the top of our show mentioned that we're less than 1 year to the Women's World Cup next summer. Just a couple of thoughts on how you're feeling going into that, for when you sign for a new team as well, and you've got to go through all of that leading into a World Cup. You want to be in your prime, you want to be at your peak. But from an England perspective, how much are you, I guess, looking to prepare for that World Cup, and your thoughts on England right now after quite a big defeat against Spain?
Yeah, I think firstly we've got qualified for it. We've got the playoffs. We know the team we're playing. The teams we are playing are complete. Which we've obviously got prepared for. We've come back to that in October. I think when making my decision about going to the city, I actually did speak to Serena in how that looks at leading into a World Cup year. How she thinks that would look for me. Is she okay with it? Like, they're the questions that sometimes you've got. Of course, I want to be there in Brazil, and obviously we've got to get there first, but they're the questions that I had to speak to with Serena and be like, she was excited.
Yeah. Beth, can you hear me? Beth, can you hear me? Any chance you can go get on some Wi-Fi with that contract that you've just got?
I'm not moved. I don't know why it's got worse.
Really? Just, we can barely understand you, mate. And I know you've got all the good insights and epic answers. It's really choppy. I want to make you get up and move.
I'm going to move.
Because I'm sure.
I mean, it looks beautiful.
Are you? Like, you're in the park.
Yeah. She was at the shed before.
Yeah.
Maybe go towards the Wi-Fi.
I don't think that booster is doing very much for you.
Can I go on and off? Will that not work? Is that any better?
You get the way, Lisa. Guys, whatever you want to do.
I don't think it's too much better, Beth. I appreciate you trying, though.
Yeah.
Give her one more chance. I want to hear what she has to say. She had so many great things.
No, she was dropping gems, but then it just, as soon as she started, it started to get choppy, and I was like, is it me? Is it my Wi-Fi?
I could kind of pick up what she was saying, and I was like, you hear Vigman, you hear England, you hear all these things, and I'm like, oh, I wish we could all hear what she's saying, but I reckon she's tried to jump off and then come back in, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. Jen, you played with her for, what, 5 years, was it, at Arsenal?
Yeah, I signed in 2019, and obviously she was already there, and then left in 4.5 years.
Wow.
She's just, honestly, she lights up every room she comes into. She is the most bubbly, down-to-earth, humble person, hilarious, like, belly laugh. When you sit down for breakfast and you see Meadows on your table, you're like, this is going to be a great chat. And just even then transition that into football, just one of the best technical players and application, everything, made training fun, made games enjoyable. She made a career. I remember playing against Beth from when she was at Sunderland as a kid, for I would have been at Man City. And I remember thinking, who's this kid running behind and perfectly timed runs. She just sees the game really well, great ability. And I think hearing her speak about how hard it was to leave Arsenal kind of was really touching, because she's, you know, written her name in history and deserves every minute of it. And when I think of my days there, I think of Beth. So it'll be hard to see her in a different journey, but I know she'll smash it. She's one of the best humans I know. So,
yeah, it was very cool to just hear her talk about it, because you can tell how much she loves this game and how much she wants to continue playing and growing. So we'll see if she grew a little bit with her Wi-Fi. Let's bring her back in. Now she's back. Can we hear you, Beth?
Can you hear me?
Oh, it's still choppy.
It's so bad. Oh. Oh,
when she was in London.
Oh, that looks clearer.
Yeah, this looks a little better.
The heat wave, man. The heat wave's killed the Wi-Fi in London as well.
Wi-Fi in England.
It's still so choppy. I'm so sorry. This stinks. I'm sorry, Beth. Yeah, we'll do a rain check with Beth. Maybe we'll get her back on the show another time. Bethany, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, rain check on Beth. She's such a gem. Jen, you know Anna Morehouse. We live together and we're teammates in Bordeaux and in Orlando, and she's one of my best mates, but she's just spoken so highly of Beth for years. I can't remember where they played together. Maybe when she was with Arsenal, like the academy or something. But one of those players that just has the best reputations in football, and truly like one of the best like all around wingers, I feel like, of the modern game. And you look at who she's about to go play with: Mary Fowler, Bunny Shaw, Miedema, Lauren Hemp, Caroline. Like, this is a team that is so stacked already, and they were healthy this last year. And then superpower Beth Mead coming in to be part of that squad with Champions League is huge. I can't wait to see it happen, and super happy for her.
Because she can play so many positions, is there one spot, especially listing off some of those City players, where you're like, I think she's going to thrive in this particular role or position?
Well, I think she adds a lot of fluidity to this squad. Bunny's got the nine. I think Hemp obviously is wanting to drive with her left, but Beth Mead can play both sides. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. She can play in the middle of the park. She's great with her precision passing, breaking line. She can go 1v1. Her service is great. Like, she already broke the assist record. Imagine her with Bunny Shaw, guys.
She's going to hold on to that record with two.
Yeah. Prepare to blow it out of the water. I'm super excited for her. And Jen, I love that you got her on. And I really, really hope that we can get a rain check, because I wanted to ask her if you are anything like the partying Scots that have taken over the U.S.
Yes.
Check that out.
Maybe I'll get to send a voice note to answer that question.
Yes, please. We'll need that. Yeah, thanks, Jen, for getting Beth on. I mean, it was awesome. Thanks, Beth, for joining us. Hopefully we can get you back. All right, guys, stick with us here on A3. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk some Challenge Cup. Let's go. Hey everyone, welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. Did you forget about the NWSL? Because Challenge Cup didn't. It's back. We have the Challenge Cup taking place tomorrow, Friday, June 26th. It is reigning NWSL champions Gotham FC against reigning Shield winners Kansas City Current. They are taking place. This game's taking place at a neutral site. So it'll be at Scott's Miracle-Gro Field in Columbus, Ohio, which is one of the new expansion teams coming in 2028 to the NWSL. So we got some games to talk about. And of course, before games come, the league said, all right, we got some rule changes. We're watching this World Cup. We're picking up some things. We are implementing it. So a couple of new rule changes that will start with the Challenge Cup tomorrow between Gotham and KC, including the new off-field treatment rule, which is probably the most significant and also the most similar to the World Cup. So it's players who will remain on the ground and require medical personnel to come onto the field will be required to leave the field for at least a 1 minute treatment period before they can come back on. So this is supposed to help with the flow of the game, making sure things are continuously moving. And it's also the timed sub rule, similar to the World Cup. Subs will have 10 seconds to leave the field D. So some of these rules that we're seeing being thrown in the middle of the NWSL season, which will carry over to the regular season, but we've seen them a little bit in the World Cup. What do you make of some of these rules?
I love the off-field treatment rule. I think that that's tactically, like, even when I was playing, that was a thing. Like, you go down, give your team a break. The keeper's always going to be the one to go down because they can't be taken off the field. But it's become so overly done, and we complained about it all last year. Why the hell are there 12 minutes of stoppage time at the end of a game? And it added a full 90-minute game to some teams at the end of the season. It didn't make any sense. So I think this will help improve that. Teams are going to have to figure out some different dark art strategy in order to get those sort of timeout breaks to reset and give some tactics and adjustments mid-game. But I like it. I think it pushes the game faster, how it's supposed to be played. We're not meant to have breaks, which I know we're doing that in the World Cup. I don't think we should be having them either. But I think that this is really effective. And yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this rule being implemented.
Yeah, these are some of the good ones. There's also an updated game day heat safety policy, which we probably will see come into effect in the second half of the NWSL season, eliminating the two-tiered approach that happened before. But you guys will hear all about that when you listen to a broadcast and they fill you in. And then they've also updated they've expanded the fan code of conduct to include a new digital code of conduct, because prior it was just everything in person and at games with fans interacting with the players. So now this new rule prohibits online threats, harassments, discriminatory language, and abuse directed towards players, officials, clubs, and fellow supporters. So honestly, both of those, the heat protection and the fan code of conduct, are in protection of the players. And these rules came about through the NWSL and through the NWSL Players Association, all in protection of the players. And we get to see these in the Challenge Cup. It is Gotham against Kansas City. Let's talk the footy about this, because you guys remember there's some deep history here between these two sides. Most recently, they played in April. It was a Kansas City 2-1 win over Gotham. And then last year in the quarterfinals of the playoffs, it was Gotham taking down Kansas City on their way to winning an NWSL championship, Jen. So now we have Gotham at fifth place in the table. Kansas City is in sixth, and this is a one-off Challenge Cup game. Who are you looking at in this one, Jen, between Gotham and KC?
I mean, both teams, honestly, with the amount of history and rivalry that's coming. And I think when a team sits so close in the standings, obviously why we love the NWSL is anyone can beat anyone. But I think both teams neither team have found their true form throughout the season. I think Kansas obviously were conceding far too many and have found a bit. Gotham, relatively similar, hadn't really gone to a full flow. But this is a chance to ultimately win a competition, lift a trophy. This is what football's all about, a one-off game. And I think this could be the confidence boost if they didn't have it before that both teams needed. So I actually can't wait. I've obviously missed the women's game, being, you know, so heavy in the Men's World Cup. So I'm really excited for this. See how the break worked for both teams. See what they've improved on, what they've been working on. So my eyes are everywhere, to be honest. I'm not looking at one thing specific. Obviously, contract extensions on both teams I think is great. Sonnet for Gotham, Chewinga for KC. So there is, I think it's a, everyone, both teams have a point to prove with if they want to go on in this game, of what they want to do in the regular season and the championship towards the fall. So, what are you guys thinking?
I'm excited for this. I mean, Challenge Cup, baby. Wow, we're still doing the Challenge Cup, but I'm here for it. I think this
Marian,
is
it's changed again. It's different again this year. It's happening in the middle of the season. Every year, it's a little different.
It's usually discard me from the Challenge Cup, but yeah, here we are. Okay. Yeah, let's go. But looking at them, they're tied with points above the playoff line in fifth and sixth. But to me, it's looking at the goal differential. Gotham have only conceded 5, and Kansas City have conceded 17. I mean, that's insane. So obviously there's big improvements both teams need to make. And I think for Gotham, it's they have too much firepower to not be scoring more than one goal consistently when they beat teams. Yes, this team is super strong defensively. Yes, we know that. But where's the flow up top? Where are you having that dagger, that bite that's truly going to make you a formidable team to go against and not just waiting until the last day until playoffs are close? So to me, that's the challenge I really want to see from Gotham in this Challenge Cup. And for Kansas City, it's how can they be better defensively? They've leaked goals this season. That is not what we know of this Kansas City current side. They're still an incredibly strong team. Tomas Sheminga's back scoring goals in back-to-back-to-back games. They're firing on all cylinders. You have Corey Bethune now stringing things through the middle of the pitch. Ali Sentinor is no longer there. How does that kind of create space? What does this team look like now? So I think there's a lot of opportunity for these teams, especially in a one-off game. And you get a bonus. You are the reigning Challenge Cup champions. It's a really big deal. So I'm excited to see how both these teams approach this, and also beautiful field in Columbus. I love that place. I can't wait to see them play at that.
Yeah, it's really cool that this game gets to be in Columbus, a little taste for women's football to come to Columbus and to that city in Ohio in just a couple of years. But it's also very intriguing with this Challenge Cup because these teams haven't played in a month.
No.
They had time off. They had a mandated CBA break for these players, and then they're back at it. They're training and getting into it, but they haven't played games in a while, which I think is going to make things very interesting. Like, yes, of course, these teams want to win, and the players want to win, the coaches want to win, but you also have a chance to tinker a little bit if you want, because it is a one-off game before you get back into regular season play. Build upon some of the things that you have been working on, maybe try a little bit of new tactics. But I'm really excited to see, especially at Gotham, Jordan Dudley, she's grown so much in the first third of the NWSL season. How has she worked in this last month to get even better, to work with her teammates, to get a little closer with them, to understand movements off the ball, score more goals? Because that's what I want to see. That I think the question marks are also all around Gotham in this one. Kansas yeah. City has historically had Gotham's number. That win in the quarterfinals last year of the playoff was Gotham's only win over Kansas City. But Gotham, this is also going to be their fourth competition this calendar year that they're playing in. The FIFA Women's Champions Cup, NWSL regular season, CONCACAF W Champions Cup, which they lost both of those games just a few weeks ago, and now the Challenge Cup. Like, how are they even keeping their head straight as they go and play another one?
I think they'll all be, I mean, we all, you know what it's like though, when you have a break and, you know, the last thing you want to do is play another friendly or enter, what do you guys call it, scrimmage?
Yeah,
you play against each other in training, and they're so competitive, and all you want is an actual game. So I think both teams will come out of the blocks. I think both teams will want to go in and win it, and you know, have that success. Because they'll, how do you guys feel watching the Men's World Cup? All you want to do is go and play a game. Mm-hmm. They'll felt the exact same. Sick of playing against each other, sick of friendlies. They will be desperate to get out there, and I think it will be really competitive.
I also think this is a huge asset for both of these teams that they get to play in this, because these other teams are going to be sitting back. Jen made a really good point, watching the World Cup, craving that competitive match where you actually get to show what you've been working on. You've had a bit of a break to kind of, you know, get your health up, get back into fitness. If you have a knock or you're dealing with some sort of, you know, niggle or whatever from the beginning of the season. So I think this is huge for both of these teams. I actually think it's going to be a factor that's going to help them with momentum once season actually resumes. But Lisa, I think you're right. The pressure's really on Gotham, because I'm like, who's scoring? Somebody's got to score. You cannot let Temwa Sheminga, and I always, anytime we talk about this matchup, I rewind to the first time Temwa played Gotham, and watching her from the top of the D just put her head down and run past Neely Martin. The turf, she was picking up the turf with her feet. Like, I've never seen the field become shorter in such a quick amount of time and then scoring a goal. Like, if I'm Gotham, that goal haunts me.
Yeah. So, if I'm Neely Martin, that run haunts me.
She's no longer there. But I think for Gotham, this could be a really big game where they switch that narrative, where we're not thinking about that. We're not thinking about, like, oh, the bad record. I think this could kind of set the tone for them going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of new players as well with Gotham that they brought in recently to they don't have those memories of Temlash showing up, but they'll see him. Yeah, I mean, it, recent form, which I don't know how much you take that into account. Gotham is coming off of those two CONCACAF losses, but then six games unbeaten in the NWSL. For KC, it was just one loss in their last six. So I love the shout that, yeah, this is a warm-up game almost for the second half of the NWSL season and a chance for these teams to go out, show what they've been working on, and prove it. Gotham, KC. Score predictions, Jen. Hit us. Who's taking the Challenge Cup home?
I think I don't know. KC got so much better before the break, but I think I'm going Gotham 2-1.
Gotham winning.
I've seen in the chat, people are bringing up Esther, and
I don't know.
You don't know?
I want to go. I think this will be high scoring. Like, whatever. Go out and ball. Go out and ball. Set the tone for the rest of the season. Don't be afraid. Like, LFG, let's go. I'm going to go 3-2 to Kansas City.
LFG.
Oh.
I wanted to say it, and then I caught myself and went, LFG.
Yeah.
So I think 3-2 Kansas City. I think it'll be a high scoring game. I want a high scoring game.
Yeah, I do too. I think Kansas City's going to pick up the dub 2-1 for them. Temwashuwinga is inevitable. She just signed a contract extension. She's staying there. So I'm going 2-1 for KC. Challenge Cup, Gotham, Kansas City, tomorrow night. You can watch it. And Attacking Third, we'll be back on Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern. You know exactly where to find us, right here on YouTube or anywhere that you get your podcast. Darian and Jen, thanks. This was fun, guys. It's good to be back with y'all. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, for watching. For Darian, Jen, Phil, and Audrey, I'm Lisa. This was Attacking Third. We'll see you Thursday. Podcasts.